I'm Marianne Kolbasek McGee, Executive Editor at Information Security Media Group. Today I'm speaking with Greg Garcia, Executive Director for Cybersecurity at the Healthcare and Public Health Sector Coordinating Council. We're going to be discussing a proposal from the Coordinating Council's Cybersecurity Working Group that recommends the Trump administration drop consideration of a proposed update to the HIPAA security rule that was issued in the final days of the Biden administration and instead replace that effort with a one-year collaborative process with leaders of the healthcare sector to negotiate a more doable cybersecurity set of requirements. So, Greg, the policy statement from the Coordinating Council states that many members of the HSCC Cybersecurity Working Group oppose the proposed update to the HIPAA security rule that was published in January. For starters, what aspects of that proposed HIPAA rulemaking are most opposed by the members and why?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to say at the outset that I think across the healthcare sector, there's a recognition that we all need to do better in cybersecurity. And in many cases, that's going to mean higher standards of accountability, that is, requirements, government requirements for compliance. I think nobody disputes that. The question is, how do we do that? How do we do that in the most cost-effective, efficient way? That's actually going to move the needle in better cybersecurity preparedness and resiliency. So, the feedback that I read and that I heard from most of our members, and we have 52 trade associations in the Cybersecurity Working Group membership, many of whom submitted comments. And I think the common theme was that the requirements were either too stringent or too vague, making compliance extremely difficult, both on a practical level and on a cost level. And by introducing that kind of uncertainty as to what constitutes good compliance, that means that actual effectiveness at achieving better cybersecurity is potentially compromised. So this was really the source of not so much opposition to better cybersecurity requirements, but more seeking an alternative path that's going to get us to our shared objective, which is better cybersecurity across the health sector and improved patient safety.
So, Greg, with that said, what might a collaborative effort look like? What would the Coordinating Council's Cybersecurity Working Group like to see happen?
Well, there is precedent. Back in 2013, there was a presidential executive order that directed the National Institute of Standards and Technology to use their convening authority to bring together industry representatives of the nation's critical infrastructure sectors and to develop a set of voluntary, consensus-based cybersecurity controls across the nation's critical infrastructure and to do it over a one-year period of time. That was directed in the executive order. And the result of that, of course, was the 2014 publication of the NIST Cybersecurity Framework. And as we, I think we all know, in the security industry, the NIST Cybersecurity Framework has become a respected and common reference for good cybersecurity practices in both critical infrastructure, industry in general, and in the government enterprise. So there is a precedent here. And the point is that rather than have a few lawyers within the government lock themselves in a room and devise 150 pages of cybersecurity regulations, how about they come out of that room and let's have a negotiation? Let's bring together industry leaders coordinated by the Sector Coordinating Council. And not exclusive to Sector Coordinating Council members, it's open to the public. But let's sit down and talk about what should constitute effective cybersecurity controls, not just for hospitals and health providers, but for the payers, for the med tech companies and the pharma and the health IT, a holistic approach. That's what we're shooting for. And then the end result is going to be a combination of good cybersecurity practices that will be required. Minimum levels of good cybersecurity, and then others that need to be more flexible to account for changes, innovations in technology, in the threat landscape, so that we can pivot more easily. So, we have a large library in the Cybersecurity Working Group on our website at healthsectorcouncil.org, 28 free publications for all range of cybersecurity controls. We can start with that library and take it from there.
Greg, has the Coordinating Council formally submitted its policy proposal to the Trump administration and any feedback yet from the Trump administration about this proposal?
Yes, we did. On Monday, we submitted it to several offices within HHS and the White House. Naturally, there is a lot of activity, a lot of reorganization going on at HHS and some of the other agencies. So I don't expect an immediate reply. I think as they get their teams reorganized and in place, I'm confident that they're going to give it serious consideration. We've heard enough encouraging remarks from the administration about the seriousness with which they are taking the cybersecurity mission, the cybersecurity threats. So it's just a matter of how best do we do this.
So, Greg, you mentioned, the sort of the restructuring that's going on in the federal government. And as we know, that also includes a 20,000 person reduction of HHS's workforce and the consolidation or elimination of dozens of agencies and offices within HHS. So at this point, any sense of what's happened to HHS Office for Civil Rights, which oversees HIPAA, and if they even still have the bandwidth to continue with any potential update to the HIPAA security rule, or if the healthcare cybersecurity issues that HHS OCR generally focuses on is even a priority at this point for the administration, because they have other priorities as well, from what I understand.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of granularity on that because there's a lot of shifting going on. I can tell you though that, from the Sector Coordinating Council's perspective, our primary partner is within ASPR, the Administration for Strategic Preparedness and Response, and in particular, their Critical Infrastructure Protection Office and the cybersecurity people there. That's where the locus of this partnership resides. And of course, the same goes with FDA. I did testify on Tuesday to the House Energy and Commerce Oversight Subcommittee, underscoring the importance of this public-private partnership that where regulation ends, partnership begins for what more do we need to do in not just cybersecurity regulation, cybersecurity controls, but the constellation of programs for whether it's for tabletop exercises, for incident response, or addressing the needs of the underserved, the resource-constrained health systems across the country that are expected to deliver higher standards of cybersecurity, but don't have the resources or the expertise to do it. How do we help them? So there's a range of programs and operational imperatives that we need to work with the government on in a partnership posture rather than simply regulatory compliance. So OCR, the Office for Civil Rights, is of course just one component of the whole HHS cybersecurity apparatus. They are obviously a regulatory agency and are more reserved in how much they can engage with the private sector on these partnership activities outside of their regulatory remit. So ASPR and FDA are our primary partners here, and we've emphasized on any number of occasions how important that partnership is. If the administration is serious about good cybersecurity policy, then they need to engage with the Sector Coordinating Council.
So now, Greg, the Coordinating Council and the HHS 405D workgroup have collaborated in the past on efforts aimed at improving the state of cybersecurity and healthcare. That includes the 10 essential and 10 enhanced cybersecurity performance goals that were released during the Biden administration. And then also the Coordinating Council's Health Industry Cybersecurity Practices, or HICCP. Why aren't more healthcare sector entities already implementing these, quote, voluntary best practices, do you think?
That's a great question. I consider that one of our biggest challenges. The easier part is to bring the stakeholders together, the practitioners who know how to do this better, put it down on paper, publish it as a best practice. But then, I usually use the phrase, the difficult part is leading the horse to water and getting the horse to drink. And the horse is the greater healthcare sector, as you were referring to, Marianne, and of course the water is all of the best practices, the good cybersecurity hygiene. Partly, it really is just it's a task of building awareness, getting that organic, virtuous cycle of more and more awareness and advocacy of these practices as the better way to do things, and using the bully pulpit of the government. And that's partly the 405D program to really raise the awareness. We have our Healthcare Sector Coordinating Council website, and we try to amplify that through social media as well. So first off is awareness, simply awareness. And the second part is, of course, the resources to do it, to prioritize cybersecurity risk management as an enterprise risk imperative, whether it's in product security or whether it is in enterprise security. But that said, we are constantly hearing from the field about how useful the HICCP has been, the Health Industry Cybersecurity Practices, or the companies are waiting for version two of our model contract. The model contract being what's 85% of the most commonly used cybersecurity terms and conditions that ought to be in a contract between a medical device manufacturer and a health provider in both the purchase and in the service of those medical devices. Here is a template for a contract that you can use. And many organizations are coming to us and saying, this was a really good model contract and we are using it. With our vendors, when's version two coming out? And it's coming out soon. Coming out soon to a website, a conference room near you.
Greg, during the Biden administration in the last year or so, there was talk that the CPGs, the cybersecurity performance goals, might become mandates for hospitals and perhaps other healthcare entities. And those CPGs don't seem as quite prescriptive as many of the proposals in the HIPAA security rule update rulemaking that's out there right now. Do you think that the healthcare sector does need to be mandated to do something more than what they're already doing? Because again, the CPGs are out there, the HICCP best practices are out there. Many entities don't have the resources perhaps to implement these things. But if it became a mandate, do you think that might raise the bar?
Absolutely. And again, as I said at the outset, I think everybody agrees that we all need to do better. And in many cases, we are not going to do better unless we are told to do so. And the question is, what are we going to be told to do? What makes ultimate sense? What is going to be effective? The cyber performance goals that you refer to, in fact, those were developed jointly by HHS and the industry, based on a study that we did together called the Hospital Cybersecurity Landscape Analysis. Version two of that is underway as well. Basically, ask the question: how are we getting beat? How are we getting beat by the adversaries? What vulnerabilities are they exploiting most successfully to penetrate and to attack our systems and data? And how are we prepared against those vulnerabilities? And given that threat profile and our preparedness, what are those essential cyber performance goals and the enhanced cyber performance goals that would address those vulnerabilities? So that's what the CPGs are. And what's good about the CPGs is, and this really starts with, I think, the premise of what the consultative process that we're calling for should involve. And that is the government is best when it is telling industry the what. The what is what measurable outcomes are we expecting from you in industry? What are we going to hold you accountable for? And then the industry is going to be responsible for the how. The how meaning what are all those specific controls and governance processes that will lead us to achieving the what? Lead us to achieving the cyber performance goals. So the HICCP, for example, does a lot to advance the how. This is how we should do it. The medical device joint security plan. How do you design and build and test cybersecurity into medical devices from the ground up rather than bolting it on later? How do we better respond to cyber incidents and achieve more rapid operational, restore operational continuity? So we've been working on the how for the past 7 years. And if the government can really focus on the most essential, measurable outcomes that we will be held accountable to, we're going to do it in different ways. One company is going to do it differently from another, from a hospital system. But as long as both methods lead to achievement of that measurable outcome, then we will have succeeded. But if the government is trying to tell everybody how to do it in exactly the same way, no matter if you're a small, medium, or large organization, whether you're a medical device manufacturer or you're an insurance, a health insurance company or a pharmaceutical company, that is not a recipe for success.
So, Greg, what might the what be in terms of measurable outcome? Fewer breaches reported, fewer outages. What sorts of things do you think the government should consider as that goal to be achieved? Regardless of how you do it, this is what we'd like you to ultimately do at the end or in terms of the results.
Yeah, and the cyber performance goals express the what in sort of a tactical way. Some basic things. You need to have email security. I mean, that's a what. Well, what kind of email security and how are you implementing it? That's a different thing. There's the different ways to do that. So it shouldn't be so prescriptive. And that's what the negotiation would be about, is the what. And we have this conversation in cyber working groups, cyber task groups regularly. What is our ultimate objective? But I'll give it to you this way, in a much more sort of metaphysical way. In our 5-year cybersecurity strategic plan that we published a little more than a year ago, we have a what, and the what is a 6-pillar future state. If we succeed, how would we describe healthcare cybersecurity in the year 2029? This is our 5-year cybersecurity strategic plan. And first off, we say the pillar number one is cybersecurity is reflexive, both in the way it's practiced and in the way it's regulated, recognizing that the cyber threat landscape is constantly evolving. So we have to have easily accessible and flexible sets of controls for how everyone and anyone in the healthcare sector ought to be meeting their requirements, meeting their responsibility. Secondly, is everything is, the technology that we use in the healthcare industry, whether they're medical devices or health IT or third-party services, it has to be secure by design, by default, and by implementation. That says, by design, by default means you're the product manufacturer, you got to build security in, but by implementation means the health systems that are using that technology have a responsibility for ensuring the security of those systems. Third is C-suite ownership. We still have too many chief information security officers that are scraping and groveling for more resources to secure their enterprise. If you have C-suite level, CEO and board level investment in cybersecurity as a business imperative, then that's a top-down cultivation of cybersecurity as a corporate culture. So that's pillar three. Pillar four is cyber safety net. I've talked about it before. The resource-constrained small rural critical access hospitals, we need to make sure that nobody is left behind in cybersecurity. So whatever we need to do to help them, to support their compliance, their responsibility for cybersecurity and patient safety, that's what we need to do. Pillar number five is cyber competence. That's just competence. That's a workforce issue. Everybody's trained on the basics, whether you're a clinician, you're a nurse, you're a surgeon, you're touching data, you're touching technology, you're touching the patient. You have some responsibility in cybersecurity too. We need better cybersecurity talent at a very technical level in the healthcare industry. Cyber jocks are going to work for financial services and for big tech, but we need to make the case that no, going to work for the healthcare industry is way cool because you're helping to save lives. And then finally, pillar number six is 911 cyber civil defense is what we like to call it. Basically ensures that early warning, incident response and recovery, those are reflexive and they're collaborative across the industry. They're always on. I like to analogize it to a beehive. When an intruder is outside the beehive, that intruder gets swarmed by the bees, where there is just this unspoken, instant, reflexive, chemical reaction in the bees, that is self-protective. We don't have that right now. More often, we just sort of scatter in different directions. So we need to build that in as both a human dynamic and a technology dynamic. So those would be the six pillars. That would be the what. Those are the objectives we're going to be shooting for by the year 2029, and we hope the government's going to be there with us.
And so, Greg, you also mentioned this. You testified before the House Energy and Commerce Oversight Subcommittee this week about cybersecurity issues concerning medical devices, especially legacy products. What was the most important takeaway that you saw from that hearing in terms of your testimony and the other experts that testified about the current state of medical device cybersecurity?
I think the case that all of the witnesses made was that this public-private partnership we have, whether it's with FDA or the other functions within HHS or Department of Homeland Security, CISA, that this public-private partnership is important, and that we look forward to continuing that partnership with the administration when all of this reorganization gets settled. And the other point to be made was that even given that, we recognize that we in the industry, we are the owners and operators. It is our responsibility to secure our infrastructure, to secure our data, and to keep patients safe. It is our responsibility. So the Cyber Working Group of the Sector Council has been working full steam ahead since 2017 to meet that responsibility. And the evidence is in all of those cybersecurity best practices that we want to hold ourselves accountable to. So, with or without the government, we're going to forge ahead to do what we are entrusted by the public to do, which is to secure our healthcare critical infrastructure and ensure patient safety. So it is a partnership, but ultimately, the responsibility rests on our shoulders in industry.
And finally, Greg, are there any other top cybersecurity issues in the healthcare sector right now that you're keeping a close eye on, especially as the federal government continues its transformation effort that we haven't touched upon?
Well, one thing we want to look at is the primary mechanism by which government industry can have this public-private partnership in a trusted, ongoing engagement process is known as CPAC, the Critical Infrastructure Partnership Advisory Council. All sector coordinating councils are considered CPACs, which really is CPAC is just a legal device to exempt government and sector coordinating council engagement from the normal Federal Advisory Committee Act rules. This says when the government's meeting with these industry groups, it has to be open to the public. Now, we cannot open to the public the sensitive threat vulnerability mitigation information that we discuss with the government. So CPAC was designed to exempt us from that from those public disclosure requirements. The CPAC construct was canceled along with all federal advisory committees overseen by the Department of Homeland Security. We've been assured that they are looking at would be a suitable version two of CPAC so that we can continue this trusted engagement with the government. Otherwise, we cannot have meetings with the government if they're going to be open to the public. So we're looking forward to the resolution of that issue. And that might actually be the opportunity for that could be later in the year. The CISA 2015 Act, Cybersecurity Information Sharing Act of 2015, that expires in September. It is sunsetted in September of this year, 10 years after its enactment. That act is one that provided a level of protection for organizations that voluntarily share vulnerability incident information with the government for the broader purpose of, national critical infrastructure protection. You share something with the government, you're not going to suffer regulatory jeopardy or any kind of liability, you know, which is a sort of a positive incentive to do good information sharing with the government. That expires in September. And so and with it, those protections will expire. It would be prudent to reauthorize that legislation, and that is up to the Congress. And in so doing, they might just throw in some codification of a CPAC-like structure that codifies into statute for an extended period of time this public-private partnership construct, which heretofore has just been administered as a matter of executive branch fiat.
Well, thank you so much, Greg. I've been speaking to Greg Garcia. I'm Marianne Kobasek-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.